So I gave out some sources. It's just the few sources that are referenced in the Sikha that we'll be discussing. So could look at that soon. So when we were trying to figure out the schedule for the shiur, we were thinking maybe to cut this week. Hindi wasn't available to come this week, so we're thinking maybe to cut off and do vacation, a break this week. But I saw it's Parshas Va'eschanan, which is my favorite parsha. So we said I'm gonna do it anyway. It's actually my parsha in the Mayan Yisrael Baal Shem Tov Sefer Torah. It's never read because it's too heavy by the time we're up to Va'eschanan, so my portion is never read. It's a big qualm I have, but whatever. It's in there and it's mine. So but basically Va'eschanan is a parsha that is just full of if you learn Chassidus and you're inspired by Chassidus, then it's your parsha, because it's like all the good Hasidic stuff is in Va'eschanan. There's Shema is in Parshas Va'eschanan. So if you think about like the one pasuk that every Jew is familiar with, it's in Parshas Va'eschanan. Today we're not going to talk about Shema, but we're going to talk about the pasuk V'yadayta Hayayim, and you should know today, and bring it down into your heart. They don't give a good translation here, so ignore it. Ki Hashem hu halakim, that Hashem is Hashem, that Hashem is the God. V'shamayim imal, in the heavens above, v'alaretz mitachas, and on the earth below, ein eid, there is no other. And this pasuk is basically one of the foundations of Shaar Yechad V'Amunah, which is the second book of Tanya. And today we're going to explore some of the ideas that are in Shaar Yechad V'Amunah and sort of like analyze them a little bit. It seems, I think, on the surface, maybe like a little bit philosophical and therefore a little scary. But I don't like to call it Jewish philosophy or Hasidic philosophy, I think, because then you hear the word philosophy and you think, oh, that's only for like someone who's smarter or intellectual. That's not true. This is what we just read right now is a command. And you should know today. That means it's a mitzvah, right? And we know that knowing that the oneness of Hashem, which is what this mitzvah discusses, right? That there is no other God, the oneness of Hashem. It's one of the 13 fundamentals of Jewish faith. It's one of the 6 constant mitzvahs that there are, that we're supposed to constantly be thinking about. So how can we say that, oh, we can't explore those ideas, it's too philosophical? We can't. We can't use that excuse. We have to use our minds as much as possible with the extent of what our minds can grasp to try to understand. And, you know, when you're a kid, you have an understanding of what God is on a certain level. And then as you get older, your understanding needs to mature. And like, we are constantly need to, our understanding of Hashem needs, and the study of knowing Hashem needs to be constantly evolving with us. You know, our understanding, if we take examples of like physical things, right? Our understanding of food develops as we get older, right? So maybe when you're younger, you like only mushy white foods. And then as you get older, you like other foods also. And you maybe can start to appreciate broccoli or whatever it is, steak. And so too, obviously, if we're going to let ourselves become more sophisticated in our physical lives and in our physical experiences and our physical knowledge, then it's our obligation to also become more sophisticated in our spiritual knowledge. So we can't be scared of the philosophy. We have to go into it, embrace it, try to make it as practical and bring it down as much as possible. That's my preface. Okay, so there are 2 psukim that sound very similar in this week's parsha, and they're actually right next to each other. So in Devarim Perek Dalet, Perek Dalet, Lamed Hey. The pasuk is Ata Reis Ladas. We're all familiar with this. We say it all the time. Ata Reis Ladas. And you were known today. You were shown today to know Ki Hashem Hu Elikim, that Hashem is Hashem in Eid Mavade. There is no other than Him. Right. And then skip forward a few more pesukim, we have the V'yadayta Hayam, which I just read earlier. We have the pasuk V'yadayta Hayam, Hashem Asel Adacha, Hashem Hu Alekim, B'Shemayim Mimal, V'Alaretz Mitachas, Ein Eid. So they seem to be saying very similar things, right? They're both basically saying Ein Eid, that there is no other God. That's what they're saying on the surface. So what's the point of having both of these psukim? What is the difference between the two? So the simplest way we can understand this is the first one is telling us, oh, you were shown that God, you were demonstrated, it was demonstrated to you that Hashem is the only God. When did this happen? At Matan Torah, you saw Hashem, Hashem revealed himself to you, and you became aware that Hashem is the only God, right? So is that anything that we have to do? That's not any responsibility on us. It's just informing us that we have this experience of understanding godliness, of seeing Hashem, right? And knowing that Hashem is one. Versus the second pasuk is saying, via daita, you should know. Now this is a command. This is something that we have to do ourselves. So Hashem, there are times where there's revelation from Hashem, where Hashem shows himself to us, and that's how we understand godliness. But sometimes we also have to do, there's another element where we have to do the work ourselves. And that's what via daita is saying, is like, you need to know today. And then as we continue in the pasuk, we see that once when it's from my perspective versus God's versus what God is doing, then the commandment changes a little bit. When it's Hashem doing it, he doesn't distinguish between Bishtamai, Mimal, Valarat, Mitachas, Einite. Why? Because from the perspective, we've discussed this many times in the past few weeks, actually, so the same themes keep coming back. But from above to below, there's no distinctions between heaven and earth. To God, everything is all one, right? To Hashem, who created the heaven, then what's the difference between heaven and earth, right? There's no difference. Earth is a creation. Heaven is a creation. No difference to him between a malach and a person, right? So from God's perspective, we don't have to make any distinctions between the heaven above and the earth below. It's all him, right? So when he's showing, when he's demonstrating to us, then there's no distinctions. However, when it's coming, when it's our job to start to explore godliness and try to understand Hashem and understanding the oneness of Hashem from our human perspective, of course there are, our minds are very much constantly seeking out like distinctions. That's the way the human mind works. It's like it's this process of organization. Almost the way that we identify things and understand things is specifically by how they're different from each other, right? That's how we like automatically, we're constantly categorizing things and breaking things down into different parts, right? So from the human perspective, is there a difference between heaven and earth? Of course, right? We see heaven as something that's like above and transcendent and far away, and earth is what we know and what's physical to us, right? And so from our perspective, and again, remember we were talking about, you know, your childhood understanding of Hashem. When you were a kid, where did you picture Hashem? In Shemayim, Hashem is in Shemayim, and however you pictured that, however that picture like came into your head, do you have to take a rocket ship to get to Shemayim? Do you fly to Shemayim? Is Hashem like a genie? I don't know, like whatever your particular picture of Hashem was as a child, I think we all have like that underdeveloped image of Hashem, which also has its advantages, but that's a whole, but like I said, if you're getting older, and you're becoming more sophisticated, you need to make your knowledge of Hashem more sophisticated. But right, so Hashem is up above in Shemayim. And even if we sing Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, we don't see that in our earth. So it's much harder for us to comprehend that God is down here on earth, right? And so in our human minds, we need, when it's a command for us to do, automatically there's this distinctions. Shemayim, Mimal, Val Aretz Mitachas, Hashem is telling, no, if you're knowing me, you need to know that I'm not only in heaven. Even though from your perspective you think I'm only in heaven, I'm actually also on earth, right? I'm not just stuck in heaven. And that's your job. Your job is to know that I am down here on earth as well, and that there is no other. And we're going to break this down further and try to understand this a little bit further. So the Medrash on this Pasuk, we're going to turn to the second page. For some reason, when you print from this website, it prints very large. So it is the second page. And we're actually going to skip to the end of the first line, right? That when it says, when we're talking about Hashem Hu Elokim, Rabbanan Amrei, our rabbis teach us, Yisrael Nasan Mamish Bavaydes Techavim. Yisrael actually like literally believed in idols. Shanamar, as it says, Atayadati, now I know. Ki gadol Hashem, mikol alekim, that God is greater than all other gods. What is that? That's idolatry. We don't believe that God is greater than all other gods because we don't believe there are any other gods. That's actually the origins of idolatry, was believing that Hashem was like, you know, in Greek mythology, you have all the gods, and then there's Zeus, who's the god of the gods. I think that's who. It doesn't matter. But in Judaism, that's actually considered idolatry, right? You don't have, God is not the God of the gods. God is the only God. There are no other gods, right? So that was Yisro's belief, that God was the gods of the gods. Naaman haidebemiksas, Naaman acknowledged with like a little bit, shenemar, and I'll explain that, shenemar, hine na yadati ki ein elekim b'chala aretz ki in b'Yisrael. So he acknowledged that there is no other God on the earth except for the God by Yisrael. So he's acknowledging that there is only the Jewish God on earth. Okay? Rahab, Shemasu b'shamayim uva'aretz. Rahab acknowledged Hashem on heaven and on earth. Okay? And it brings a pasuk to prove that. And then lastly, we're going to skip a little bit. Maisha, Shmai af b'chalalei shel elam. Maisha found Hashem not just on heaven and earth, but even b'chalalei shel elam. Literally, chalalei shel elam means the void. But like in the lowest dregs of the earth, that's where Maisha found Hashem. Okay, or acknowledge Hashem. Shenamar ki Hashem hu ha'elekim. And he brings, what's the source for the fact that Maisha found Hashem even in like the lowest places on earth? The sources are pasuk right here. Hashem hu alekim, that Hashem is the God. Hashemai mimal, in the heavens above. Yalars mitachas, and also on earth. Ein aid, mahu ein aid. What does it mean there is no other? What's ein aid adding? Afilu b'chalalei shel elam. Even in the lowest parts of the earth, even in the void, even in the places of evil, in the places of darkness, in the places where God, it's like, how can you find God there? God is also there. That's what Maisha found. So what this Medrash is teaching us is sort of like what our approach to God could be. There are people who might think that there is a God, but oh, he's the God of the gods, right? There are people who might find Hashem in one plane, either in the spiritual plane or on the physical plane. There are people who might acknowledge Hashem is both spiritual and the king of the spiritual and the physical, the God of heaven and of earth. And then if you're Moshe Rabbeinu, and if you're following this commandment over here, you have to know that Hashem is not just on heaven and on earth. He's even in the void. He's even in the darkness. Right? So we're going to push it even further over here. So what does it mean that in there is no other? So on a simple level, you would say there is no other means that there is no other God. Right? There is no other God but Hashem. And again, that would sort of be answering to Yisrei. Yisrei says Hashem is, that's the typical, again, the idolaters. They say Hashem is the God over the other gods. But he's not interested. Hashem isn't interested in our world. Hashem's not interested in being invested in our world. He's not interested in taking care of all the nitty-gritty details of our existence. So God made little gods and he gave them power and he lets them make their own decisions, right? And that makes a lot of sense on a certain level. Like, why would Hashem want to be Hashem delegated, right? But obviously we do not believe Hashem delegated, and we believe that Hashem himself is invested in every single hashgacha pratis, over every single thing that happens on earth, even those most minute, smallest little things that happen, right? So we're going to nix the first explanation of this pasuk, that it means that Hashem is the only God. We're going to push that away. And we're going to say that it must mean something deeper than that, because our Medrash pushes it deeper than that. It says Hashem isn't only, it's not only Yisro's opinion, but we have to push a little further to understand, what does this mean that Hashem is the God of heaven and earth, and even in the lowest realms of reality, right? Okay, so this is a discussion that's had in Parak Beis of Shari Yechad V'Emunah of Tanya. In Shari Yechad V'Emunah, the Alter Rebbe quotes the Baal Shem Tov, and this is a very famous quote of the Baal Shem Tov, that it says La'ilam Devar Hanitzav Bashamayim, forever your words are standing in the heavens. And the Baal Shem Tov, what he says over there is Devar Hashamarta, the words that you said, Yehi Rakia, there should be the, what's for Kia, the firmament or whatever. He nitzavais va'andais la'ilam b'seich rakia. They stand forever within the firmament. What does this mean? It means that the world, it naturally should not be able to exist. The natural state of the world is that it should not be able to exist. Why? Because God's existence is so true that it basically blows away anything else. The example that Chassidus brings is, if you have the sun, right? We have the sun. And if somehow we manage to travel to the sun, you know what? We don't even have to travel to the sun. Forget that. Because on a sunny day today, if you went outside today, right, and you have your nifty flashlight on your phone and you turned on the flashlight on your phone, would the flashlight on your phone, even right now in this room, because there's a stronger light, I turn on my flashlight right here, you see a little bit, but is it doing anything? Is it enhancing anything on camera? Maybe it's worse, but it's not doing anything, right? Why? Because there's a stronger light, it basically nullifies and negates the existence of my lame little flashlight. It's handy when it's dark, but when it's light, doesn't really have a role, right? So too, God's existence is so real and consuming and overwhelming that anything else in the face of God just burns up, just fizzles out. It's impossible for it to exist. But so then how do we exist? God specifically hid himself, right? He went through a process of symptom of concealing himself. And then he introduced the small little light, right? But because we're not supposed to exist, and because our existence, the existence of anything outside of God, is actually impossible, the force that needs to keep it going needs to be constant. It needs to constantly, Hashem's life force that's turning us to be here has to be a constant life force at every single moment. The example, this is another famous Hasidic mashal, I think the Rebbe Shah brings it for the first time, is the idea of the flying rock. What's the idea of the flying rock? So if you study even the most basic physics, we know, obviously, there's the law of gravity, right? So with the law of gravity, everything is going to fall down. Everything is pulled to the center of mass of the earth, right? So everything is naturally is going to fall down. But I know I can throw a ball. Or a rock. And in that moment that the rock is being thrown, it's flying. In that moment, do rocks fly? No. So the nature, the fact that a rock should fly, it's an impossible act, right? So what happens? How is it flying? Is that as long as there is the force, if you learned a little bit about forces, right? As long as you have the force of the throwing up, propelling it upward, it's going to fly. Then what happens as soon as the force runs out? It's going to fall back down. So as long as you have the force, for something that's impossible, you need the force to be constant. And as soon as that force goes away, that impossible reality basically dissipates, right? So too with our world. Again, going back to that example, our world is naturally impossible. Our existence outside of God is impossible. So that means that for us to exist, we need God's constant force to be making us be here. And as soon as God takes that force away, what would happen to us? We would disappear. And it's not even that, let's say, God forbid, we would die. It's not dying. It's as if we never existed ever because our existence is impossible, right? So it's not like, oh, if you understand the distinction, right? It's not, it would be as if we never were. So we constantly need this force keeping us in creation. Now, one might think, oh, Hashem just has one that he uses for all the things that are that exist outside of him, right? One general force, world, that's the code word, and that's what's keeping the entire world in creation. But that's not actually true. Each individual thing in the world, and this is going back to the pasuk that we have over here, we have distinctions. There's a difference between b'shamayim mimal, v'al ha'aretz mitachas, and in ay. There's a difference between every level, every created thing. There's a distinction between them, meaning that Hashem individually creates each thing at every moment. So it's not that he's doing a huge general, because he's God, he can do it. We wouldn't be able to do it. But it's not just the general, a world, right? It's heaven and each of the different celestial beings, and on earth and each individual person. And even all those things that you think are not significant, rocks, inanimate objects, and even evil, even bad things, even things that are against God, if they exist, it means that God is giving it individual life force at that moment. What is the life force? So in general, we say the life force comes through the 10 utterances that Hashem said, Yehi Rakia, Yehi, right? But each of those statements actually go through like what we would call like an evolution. They evolve downward and branch off into all the individual things, right? So let's say Hashem said, create fish, right? What that was day 5, right? Hashem created fish. Now, it's not just that Hashem said Yehi. I don't think it's that's the word. Does it say Dagim? Yeah. Maybe it does. So he says Doug. Let's say, right, the word Doug. But there's probably millions of species of fish. I don't know the exact number, right? So there's all these different species of fish. The word Dagim then evolves downward, and in Sefer Yetzirah it explains this, how each of the letters basically, like you can morph the letters into a millions of different combinations, and you get all the different types of fish. And so each thing, what is its life force? Is it's a name in Hebrew, its name in Lashon HaKodesh, is its life force. And that's for people too. That's why a Jewish name is so significant also. It's not just, you know, your name, but it also represents your life force. I'm assuming that, I don't know how it works with non-Jews and their names. I never looked into that, but it would be something interesting to look up. Like what is the life force of each individual person? If they don't have a Jewish name, it's just a thought that came into my head. I don't know. Okay, but back to what we were saying. So each thing with its individual name, it has its life force, and that's the godliness that's tailor-made to you. And like we said before, that godliness that's tailor-made to you is constantly coming into being to create you. So this gives us a deeper understanding of what does it mean, Ein Eid. There is no other than Hashem. If you are just his energy, and as soon as he stopped speaking to you, you wouldn't exist, then what are you really? If you're just his energy, and if he would stop speaking, you wouldn't exist, then what are you really? You have you really are not independent. You're really just part of him. And that's true with every single creation on earth. Every single creation on earth really is just part of him, right? It's really every single thing on earth has no independent existence. All of our existence is really totally one with Hashem. And so when we're saying, there is no other, we're not saying there is no other God. We're saying there is no other independent creation. We are all totally one with Hashem. And if Hashem would choose to stop creating, we would stop existing as if like there was no memory of it. And it's like a pretty awesome thing because, see, in the past few weeks, we've been talking about the greatness of Hashem, sort of as he, we've been talking about accessing Hashem outside of nature, like connecting, like superseding nature, going outside the system, and how that can inspire our relationship with Hashem. But even within the system, today we're focusing on within the system. Within the system, The knowledge that Hashem is choosing to create, as long as I'm here, it means Hashem is choosing to create me right now with my name, meaning with all my individuality. That's a pretty amazing thing. First of all, it means that I am absolutely significant, because God wouldn't keep me in creation if I didn't have some sort of role and purpose within this world. Because if each, right, if you're constantly enlivening each individual thing, that means that each individual thing that you're dealing with over here has some sort of role to play, right? If it was a more general sort of life force, you could say, okay, this one got swept up with the other ones, but that one is not so important, right? But when you're talking about each individual, right, and each individual receiving its own life force through that Seder Ishtalshus, like through the life force coming down within the world and within creation, that gives us infinite significance within creation, along with everything else. But it doesn't matter, right? Everything else that's here also is being deliberately chosen by God. But that's not for us to worry about. What we have to worry about is why am I being in existence right now? But I think it also maybe does help, because it makes us more mindful in how we, first of all, in how we interact with other people. Like, if you recognize that every other person, Hashem is also keeping them in creation right now. It's like David HaMelech asks, why did you create crazy people? And all, like, right? But and when you realize, like, God is intentionally creating every single person right now, that will change the way that I interact with those people, because I understand that they are also utterly significant. And it also changes the way that I interact with the world, because I recognize that everything in this world is being created by Hashem right now. That means that the way that this thing, everything, this cup, this table, anything that exists has a significance. And for some reason, Hashem decides that there needs to be have some sort of role to play within the broader scheme of things. Even the things that don't seem to be so significant are significant because they are one with Hashem, right? And if you go back to the distinctions again, you might think, oh, when we're saying God is in heaven, right? Oh, why would I think God is in heaven and not on earth? Well, you might think is, oh, Hashem is in heaven as in he's invested in each of the angels. He has a relationship with them, with like higher beings. But on earth, it's just sort of more of like this general, like, he's not so enmeshed in earth. But that's not what we're saying, right? We're saying, no, God is on earth and in like embedded within all of creations as much as he is embedded within heavenly creation. And not only that, like we said, yifilu b'chalalei shel'elam, even in the lowest places, it's always possible to find God. It's always possible to use something in some way that it could express godliness, right? So there are certain things that we're told not to engage with, right? Certain things that are usur, right? Crabs. I don't know. You could look at them if you find them aesthetically pleasing. Or the way that we're engaging with them and bringing out the godliness is by withholding from having them. Because, you know, it's one thing, there are different ways that we express our relationship with someone. One way, and sometimes it's easier, the easier way is by giving them what they want. And sometimes the harder way is by not doing what they don't want, right? And that means that I'm really seeing you and I'm seeing what you don't want. So with Hashem, we're expressing, these things were created so that we could have the opportunity to express godliness by withholding from them. And so every single thing on this earth has its purpose and it has a way that we can engage with it to show the godliness that is within it. And the Rebbe actually brings at the end of the Siha, very interesting, like practical, application of this idea. And he says, you know, it's very easy to start to talk about and say, oh, anything in this world can be used for godliness, right? And we all think, oh, so some of us, you know, you hear that and you say, oh, let's jump on, oh, I have there are certain things that we want to engage with because we want to use them and we like to use the excuse of using them for godliness, right? So it's very easy to say, oh, I'm eating, so I'm energized for my avodas Hashem. Take a step back. Let's be honest over here, right? Oh, I'm using my social media to share Jewish ideas. It's possible. It's totally possible. Well, let's like take a step. The Rebbe says there is an order. The same way Hashem created the world with the Seder Shtalshalos. What do we say? Mimal Ein. So too in our own lives, if we actually want to be utilizing these things for our Rebbe's Hashem, there needs to be a certain Seder Shtalshalos. What is that Seder Shtalshalos? Why does it start with Mimal? Heaven. What happens every single night? Actually, every single night, our souls go up to heaven to have a sort of like a spiritual recharge, to get out of like the physical reality and have some time to be in the sort of in the spiritual source. That's what happens every single night. And then every morning we receive our soul sort of, it's re-energized, it's been plugged in. It's been charging next to our beds and it's been plugged in and then we get it back. So that's B'Shamayim Mal. We have to start off by acknowledging that my soul is something spiritual and there is something higher than the physical reality. Even though the physical reality is godly too, but there was a spiritual purpose, right? So I receive my soul with and I say my Da'ani and I acknowledge Hashem returned to me my soul. I am tuning myself into the fact that there is a spiritual purpose. Right, that's step number one in the Shtalshalos. Then we say, "Vala aretz mitachas," and on earth, what are we doing? We're drawing it down. But even with our bodies, there are two different categories of how we interact with the physical world. There's the very obvious, sort of what you would say, engaging our bodies in a very obviously holy way. How do we engage our bodies in a very obviously holy way? First thing you do in your day, what do? Hopefully, you daven, right? For men, this is more practical, but I think for women also, there is ways that we can make this practical. Even learning something in the morning, right? Learning Torah, putting our minds into holiness is when I'm starting to draw from Shemayim into also Ala Aretz Mitachas, right? On this earth, there are expressions of things that are more obviously holy, and I'm drawing that energy that my soul got from heaven into earth as well. And then after davening's over and learning's over, then we go into the world, into our regular day, into the mundane things that don't seem to be holy on the surface at all. Right? And that's the Ein Ayin. That's the Chalal Shalom. We enter into what seems to be the void, right? And it's totally void of holiness. But because I went from Shemayim, because I came recharged with spiritual energy through davening, and through learning, now from this mindset, from this headspace, I'm able to interact with the world in a way where I'm truly revealing the godliness in it, right? And then once I've sort of like gotten my mind on, gotten myself into that proper headspace, yes, my eating will be L'shem Shemayim, right? And yes, my social media usage will be L'shem Shemayim, and my way that I interact with other people will all be as a way, not just listening, trying, but as a way of expressing godliness in this world, because I've gone through this in the proper order. Right, of drawing from heaven into earth, even down into the lowest, lowest places of earth. And so, yeah, this is just like one a very like empowering and practical application of this sort of lofty idea of Achdus Hashem, of the oneness of God, which seems to be philosophical, but it's not true because it impacts the entire way that we approach our daily actions. If you're actually thinking about it, and if you allow it to, and if you really, that's the way it says, it doesn't just say no. You don't really need to know it. Also, v'hashiv, you have to draw it into your heart. You have to know it in a way that it becomes a part of your heart. It becomes a part of your. It becomes an emotional thing, and then it will also impact your actions, and come out full circle. So yeah, we're taking a little break for the next few weeks, but this learning. Oh, I was supposed to say our learning is in this class of Leah Torah Bas Rachamim and Eliezer Tzvi Ben. What he wanted me to say, please excuse me. Yeah, he just said. Okay, well, he didn't write the name on the thing. Ben Reb Moshe. And yeah, we should take this learning into the next 2 weeks of summertime break, vacation that we're taking, and infuse godliness into that as well. Okay.